In San Francisco, Pacific Gas and Electric has come up with a controversial plan to work its way out of bankruptcy. PG&E is California's largest utility. It's also one of the state's largest landowners. PG&E wants to use those holdings as leverage against its enormous debt. But environmentalists say the plan would put thousands of acres of pristine land at risk. From member station KQED in San Francisco, Cheryl Colopy reports.
It's a spectacular chunk of real estate, 144,000 acres of land extending from near the Oregon border south along the spine of the rugged Sierra Nevada. The large parcels of land flank PG&E's dams and hydropower plants. By most accounts, the utility has been a good steward of the land and the rivers and streams that run through it. But as a public utility, PG&E is not allowed to borrow enough cash against these assets to pay down its $13 billion debt. So the company has asked the bankruptcy judge to allow it to transfer the holdings to a private subsidiary. And unlike now, the new subsidiary would not be regulated by the State Public Utilities Commission. Jim McKinney of the California Department of Resources says that state oversight is what's kept the land pristine.
All of us in our rate bills to PG&E paid into the funds that PG&E used to operate and maintain its hydro assets, to manage its lands, to do the environmental studies that you need to do really, really good forest stewardship.
Opponents of the plan say there's no guarantee that stewardship would continue if the land were placed under the control of a private company accountable primarily to its shareholders. Nancy Ryan, an economist with Environmental Defense, is worried that in bankruptcy court, the public interest will take a back seat to creditors.
Trees don't have standing in bankruptcy court. Neither do fish or furry creatures, or for that matter, people who like to camp or fish or hike, or people who value wildlife and wild places.
Ryan says if PG&E's proposal is approved in court, the company would be free to sell the land. And with a major highway intersecting some of the land, there would be tremendous pressure to develop it.
The next time you're driving up to Tahoe on I-80 and you go through Immigrant Gap, look off to your left. That's the headwaters of the Yuba and Bear Rivers. PG&E owns nearly 20,000 acres of land in there. There's old growth forest, lots of mature forest, dozens of lakes, and the next time you drive up that way, it might be condos.
PG&E officials insist that isn't going to happen.
We have no plans to sell the facilities. No plans at all.
Company spokesman John Tremaine says PG&E simply needs to borrow against those assets as a way to draw down its debt. He stresses that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission would continue to oversee operation of the dams.
All you can judge us by is what we've done. And we've got a very long history of sound environmental practices, of strong stewardship of both the water and the land that we're responsible for. And that strong stewardship will continue.
But even some of the utility's oldest partners aren't convinced. Nestled in the Sierra foothills, the National Hotel looks much as it did when it was built at the height of the California Gold Rush. Its lobby is adorned with ornately carved furniture with burgundy velvet upholstery and an antique grand piano. It was here, in an upstairs suite, that the contracts were signed in 1850, creating PG&E.
Its earliest acquisitions were from the old mining claims, where the miners were generating electricity. And in fact, this hotel probably had electricity in it long before most hotels in the state of California.
Elizabeth Martin is a Nevada County supervisor, a farmer, and a fifth-generation Californian. She says that PG&E has been a partner in managing Nevada County's land and water for 150 years.
This debate is not just about power, but it's about water and who owns it. PG&E's claims on these lands and on this water, the water is the gold of the state of California.
In the Wild West of deregulated energy, PG&E's proposal ventures into uncharted legal territory. Bankruptcy Judge Dennis Montali will have little precedent to guide him as he continues to weigh the arguments of PG&E, the state, and other interest groups in the coming weeks. For NPR News, I'm Cheryl Colopy in San Francisco.